In Psalm 127 in verse 3, the psalmist writes that children, they are special treasures of the Lord. I think every one of us would agree with that. Just over the past few months, there's been a couple of families in our church, Daniel and Elizabeth. God gave them a special treasure, Zoe, life eternal. Conrad and Jessica, God gave them a special treasure, Isaiah, the great prophet of the Lord. And whenever a child is born, that child is significant to some, certainly to mom and dad, to grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and cousins and extended family and beyond that, friends, and of course, church family as well. I want you to know it's that way around the entire world. Whenever a child is born anywhere on this planet, that child means something. That child is special to some, if not many. So it would come as no surprise to us then that the birth of the Christ child, God's Son in human flesh, the birth of that child would be of great significance, not just to some, not just to many, but ultimately to all in some way, shape, or form. Now, in the verses here in Luke chapter 2, basically what Scott read this evening, we find several people or people groups or beyond people, angels, of whom the birth of this child was significant in every way. And what I want to do is I want to identify these different groups or individuals. Number one, the birth of this child was significant to shepherds. Shepherds, look at verse 8, if you will, Luke chapter 2. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And you know the story. The angels come. They proclaim the birth of this child. We go to verse 15. What do the angels do? The shepherds do. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds begin to say to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had made known to us." So they came in a hurry and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. Listen, the birth of this child was so important to those shepherds, they did something that shepherds never did. They left their flocks alone in the field at night to see this child. This child was also important to the angels, verse 13. Suddenly there appeared with that one angel who made the announcement a multitude of heavenly hosts. And they were all praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." The angels were so moved by the birth of this child that they left the glories of heaven. They filled the sky, and they filled the sky with praise for this one child who was born. Of course, the birth of this child was significant to Mary and Joseph, verse 16. So they, the shepherds, came in a hurry, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. Of course, this child was important to the parents. I mean, there is this innate natural affection that God has given the parents that causes them to love their children immediately upon birth. As you read through this Christmas story, you see the tender, loving care of Mary and Joseph for this little child, demonstrating their love. Number four, this child was important to a relative. If you look back at chapter 1 and verse 39, there's a young girl named Elizabeth. She's the cousin of Mary. Chapter 1, verse 39, "Now at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to the city of Judah. She entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And how has it happened to me?" Think about that. How has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, was so excited. In this case, her excitement is understood because this is not just any child, but it is the Lord of the universe who is coming to her home. The birth of this child was important to Elizabeth. Beyond that, there was an elderly man. His name was Simeon, chapter 2 and verse 25. The birth of this child was very significant to this man. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, and he was looking for the consolation or the salvation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon had waited intently for the birth of this child. And when he finally saw the child, verse 30, he said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation. Now I'm ready to die because now I know that death will usher me into glory." The birth was also important to a very elderly woman, a godly woman named Anna, verse 36. There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then as a widow to the age of 84. And she never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began to give thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. I mean, here's a woman who lived in the temple. She was there day and night. She waited for one thing. That was this child, the salvation of God. And she, as an elderly woman, was so excited about the birth of this child, she left the temple and she went to tell the godly that she knew of the wonder of the birth of this child. There's another group, a seventh group. And that was many godly Jews. The end of verse 38, she went to those who were looking for the redemption, the salvation, the Christ who would come and save his people. You see, even during this time, there was a significant number of godly Jewish people who recognized the emptiness of the present religious system. They recognized the lostness of the world in which they lived. And they were looking for something more, something purer, something perfect. And it was this child. Imagine their joy when Anna told them the news. Of course, there were more than these. There were the wise men, Matthew chapter 2. You don't have to turn verses 1 and 2. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, behold, there came wise men from the east, and they came asking, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star, and we are come to worship him." The birth of this child was so significant to these men that they traveled upwards of 1,000 miles to come and see him. That's how important this child was to them. In a twisted way, number 9, this child was also important to a man named Herod. He was a king, Matthew 2, 3, and 4. When Herod had heard of his birth, he was troubled. And he gathered the wise men together and he says, "Where is this child born?" And the wise men said, "The prophets say he'll be born in Bethlehem of Judah." And you know the story. He told the wise men he wanted to worship the child, but then he told the soldiers to go to Bethlehem and kill every child under the age of 2. The birth of this child was significant to a king like Herod because this child would be King of Kings, the greatest king the world has ever known. This child also was significant to, number 10, all the Old Testament prophets. You remember John chapter 1 and verse 45, Philip finds Nathanael. And he comes to him and he says, Nathanael, we have found him. And Nathanael finds Philip, we have found him, we have found him. The Christ, the one whom the prophets had all spoken of. Certainly the prophets understood the significance of the birth of this child. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 says they spent their days looking in with interest in the word of God of when this child would come and what he would be like. Number 11, this child certainly was significant to his heavenly father. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, in the perfect sovereign timing of God, he sent forth his son who was born of a woman. The fact of the matter is God had prepared and orchestrated all of human history to center around the birth and the life and the death of his son. The most important event that ever happened in this world was the son came into the world to die for sinners. If I would add one more group, the significance of this child is important to everyone who has ever lived. Whether they want to admit it or not, that's true. You remember God said in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3 that all of the people groups of the world will be blessed through this child. I guess we would ask the question, how? How would the birth of one child in one little village 2,000 years ago be a blessing to all people? The Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8 that it's through this child that the euangelion, the gospel, the good news would be proclaimed throughout all of the world. In other words, the birth of this child is significant to the entire world because his birth started the dominoes falling in every direction where all of the world would hear this greatest of all news that God became a man and he came to rescue sinners from their sin and eternal damnation and to give them the hope of a glorious eternity. That's why this child is significant to everyone. What was the primary purpose for the birth of this child? The angel told Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, and Mary shall conceive with a child, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, salvation, Jesus. For he will come to save, to deliver, to rescue his people from their sins. Ever since the beginning of human history, the birth of a child has always been important to many. The birth of this child is most important to the people of God, for he is our salvation. He is the hope of our eternity. He is our blessed Savior. So the birth of this child is celebrated. It's significant to all in some way, to the people of God in every way. And that leaves us with this one question. How important is the birth of this child in your life? I mean, does the birth of this child mean only for you a few extra days off during the holiday season? Is that all he means? Is that his significance? Does the significance of Jesus' birth go beyond all of the festivities and the lights and the trees and the candy and the nuts and the gifts? Is that what he means to you? A festive time with family? Is the reality of who this child is, has it permeated every facet of your life? Has it literally transformed your life and destiny? Is he the center and the core of your hope every moment? That's the real question. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to read just one verse, John chapter 14 and verse 6. I think you'll see it on the screen. John 14, 6. Jesus, speaking here, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now get this. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus says, I am the way. They didn't have paved roads or sidewalks like we do today back then. They had pathways. They had roadways. Those pathways led somewhere. When you were headed on a destination, you got on a pathway. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way to a relationship with God. I am the way to fellowship and friendship with God. He says, I am the truth. I am the true knowledge of God. There are people who say there's many ways to God. Jesus says, I'm the only way. There are many people who claim they have the truth. Jesus says, I am the truth of God. He says, I am the life. He is the life of God. And this is why Jesus had to be born. You see, in the beginning, God created man and put him in the garden. Adam and Eve in the garden. And Adam and Eve had three things in the garden. They had fellowship with God. Every day they walked and they talked with God in the garden. They had the true knowledge of God. They knew God purely. And they knew God profoundly. And they had the life of God. They had real spiritual life within them. The very life of God within them. But you know the story. Adam chose to sin. He disobeyed God. And when he disobeyed God, three things happened. He lost fellowship with God. God came into the garden to find Adam. Where art thou? And Adam and Eve hid because their sin became a barrier between them and God. And they lost the true knowledge of God. Before they sinned, they knew good and they knew God, but now they knew good and evil. And it was the bad, sinful thoughts that would drive out their good thoughts of God. And then they lost the life of God. God told Adam, on the day that you eat of that tree, disobey me, you will die. And instead of living forever, Adam and Eve began to die physically. They died spiritually. What does that mean to me? It means this. It means that every child born into this world since that time has been born with the guilt of the sin of Adam and Eve. It has been imputed to us. The human race fell into sin in Adam and Eve. We are part of that race. We have sinned. The birth of Jesus Christ was to change all of that. Jesus says, I'm the way back to God. I'm the way to the true and pure knowledge of God. I am the way to the life of God. So why was the birth of this child important? Because everything man lost because of sin in the garden, they get back because of the Savior who died for sinners. They get back their relationship to God. They get back the true knowledge of God. They get back spiritual life and life eternal. That's who this child is. He is the way back to God. He is the way to forgiveness. He is the way to eternal life. So let me ask you, how significant is this child in your life? The most important birth in the history of the world. the one who will bring sinners back to God. Is he your Savior? I would challenge you this evening to recognize your sinfulness, that God sent his Son on a rescue mission for sinners, and you're a sinner, and so am I. Acknowledge your sinfulness to God and turn in faith, committing your life to Jesus Christ. Let's bow for prayer.